Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, Cantillation, Interpreter of the Bible, was written by Mark Siegel and is based on the book The Cantillation of the Bible by Professor Solomon Rosofsky.
Precious. Boro Elohim, Eis HaShomayim, Ve'Eis Horetz, Ve'Horetz, Ho'Yesosovovo.
You are listening to the first verses of the Bible being chanted in Hebrew, as they have been chanted for thousands of years. The words and the music are inseparable. Together, they form a pattern of rhythms and accents, which is traditional. There are many styles of this intonation, but the precise relationship of each syllable, word, and phrase is fixed, rigidly fixed by one of the oldest forms in musical history. It is called cantillation. Its importance and its interest are more than musical, for cantillation is an art form. It is the interpreter of the Book of Books, the guide to a crystal clear understanding of the Word of God. How did cantillation come to be? Why did it develop? How is it used to transmit the ageless message of the Bible?
The questions have occupied scholars for a great many years.
It is a fascinating study. For if the words of the book go back to the dawn of creation, the music of the book goes back to the dawn of human communication.
Cantillation is basically an intonation, and intonation is a function of communication. We should know precisely what is meant by any sentence of the Bible. Cantillation provides the intonation which lets us know.
In every word we speak, in any language, one syllable is spoken with greater emphasis and clearer enunciation than the rest.
In the beginning, Bereshis.
About it, the other syllables are grouped, some with a slight stress, some with no stress at all.
Similarly, in every phrase, in every sentence, some words are pronounced with marked distinctness, while others are spoken hastily, almost without a stop.
We call these stresses, as you know, accents.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In an ordinary page of English, the word accents are never indicated, nor are the groupings of words by phrases completely indicated.
They are, of course, in the Greek, but then very few of us, I suppose, speak Greek. The Hebrew word for accent is ta'am.
The same word can be translated as taste, as it is in Exodus, as judgment or good sense, as it is in the book of Samuel, or as sense or words of sense, as it is in the Talmud.
And this makes perfect sense, because it is the accents in a word and the accents in a sentence which weld disjointed speech into logical meanings.
Cantillation fixes, with no room for doubt, the exact accents of each word, each phrase, each sentence of the Bible.
Listen once again.
Bereshis, Boro Elohim, Eis HaShomayim,
There are a good many theories as to how cantillation of the Bible began. Most scholars accept as one of the reasons the fact that the Bible was read in public before large audiences.
Language is a function of occasion. Words addressed to an intimate group are delivered one way. Words directed to a large audience are delivered another way.
Let's suppose for a moment that Abraham Lincoln was expressing a certain well-known thought in the confines of a White House sitting room rather than at a public gathering. He might well have said,
67 years ago, our forefathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation.
But put the same man on a speaker's platform on the battlefield at Gettysburg.
67 years ago.
The phrasing is different.
Our fathers.
The accents are different.
Brought forth upon this continent a new nation.
The intonation is different. In a sense, old Abe is beginning to sing.
Conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
He is beginning to sing the speech in order to make his meaning clear. Of course, we can't be quite sure the way he delivered his speech. There isn't any cantillation for the Gettysburg Address. It's a long trip from Gettysburg to Jerusalem, but we're about to make it. You are listening to the voice of the spiritual leader of the Samaritans, an ancient sect. The reading is of the Ten Commandments in Hebrew. You notice that the text is being read, not sung. This is the way the text of the Decalogue is studied today by the priests of the Samaritan sect.
But when the same text is read in public, it sounds like this.
The priest is singing to speech. He is cantillating the Decalogue, and his purpose is to make the text attractive. Intonation, accent, and the phrasing for public reading, these are three of the functions of cantillation. But how is it done? What is the particular system of notation which allows the reader of the Bible to chant the ancient words in the ancient way? Let's begin at the beginning. And the beginning is to find out what cantillation is not. That was our musical scale, made up of notes, the familiar do, re, mi.
Cantillation is not just a series of notes.
Now, here's a song, a rhythmic and familiar tune, made up of certain notes played in certain rhythms.
Cantillation is not a song.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing.
The words of this song may be meaningful, but there isn't any great relationship between the words and music. You can sing other words to this tune.
Ask the British.
God save our gracious Queen, long live our
short, cantillation is not words added to music. It is music which has grown out of the words to make their meaning clearer.
Cadmo muna darko muna sego.
What you are hearing now is the ABC of cantillation, the basic accents or groups of notes which a beginner learns. The words are the names of each motif, and the names themselves suggest the function of each motif in helping to make the text of the Bible clear. The signs of the cantillation show us which words go together and which should be held apart. They also serve a grammatical purpose.
In short, they are the periods, commas, semicolons, and question marks of the Bible.
The names of the accents include, for example,
resting,
muna, muna,
staying,
yesi,
cessation,
silo,
and end of verse,
sophosu.
May we hear that again?
Sophosu.
Well, there's a period if you ever heard one. The system of cantillation is a technical one. Technical in the sense that the chanting of the Bible, according to these traditional accents, requires a knowledge of the signs and of their relationship to each other. But cantillation is also an expression of mood, an expression of the close relationship of man to the word of his Maker, and an expression of the exaltation with which man divines the ageless wisdom of the Bible.
And so what began as a single system of accents to make words of the Bible clearly understood developed over the centuries into a highly diversified series of systems reflecting mood, subject matter, geography, and even occasion.
We said before, the experts couldn't be exactly sure of just which way the Bible was cantillated in ancient times. The reason is that while the accents are fixed, the musical content of each accent is not.
Music, even the music of the Bible, reflects the culture in which it develops.
And so there are variations in the traditions of cantillation. Variations handed down from father to son in different parts of the world.
What sounds natural in Baghdad can sound strange in Lithuania.
Also the other way around. Each of the traditions of cantillation is a melodic world in itself. For example, let's return to the chanting of the first verses of Genesis as it is read today in synagogues in the United States.
Bereshis boro Elohim Eis hashomayim ve'eis horeth.
That is in the East European tradition. But here is the same text chanted in the Oriental tradition. It's Yemenite. The singers are a father and his son.
The father sings a verse in Hebrew, then according to custom, the son translates the verse into Aramaic. Aramaic was the common language of the people 2,000 years ago.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This is how these words sounded in the Yemenite tradition.
Bereshit bara Elohim el shamayim v'etara.
That was Yemenite cantillation.
We could also let you hear variations from Baghdad, Kurdistan, Morocco, Lithuania, Germany, and Poland, Spain, the Netherlands, and Italy. That is, to mention a few.
But in each locality, in each tradition, the function of the chanting is the same. Cantillation is the interpreter of the Bible. In the book of Nehemiah, there is a description of the beginnings of the public reading of the Bible.
Then did Ezra the priest bring forward the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and everyone that had understanding to listen attentively. And he read therein, and the ears of all the people were directed unto the book of the law. So they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and exhibiting the sense, so that the people understood what was read.
This was the beginning of the public reading of the books of the Bible within the religious services of Judaism. The five books of Moses are read completely in designated portions for each Sabbath of the year. On special holidays, the books of Ruth, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Songs are read in public. Esther, Lamentations, and the Prophets each have their place within the liturgical calendar.
The moods of these books of the Bible vary greatly.
Some are expressive of despair, and some of joy. Some are books of comfort, and some of poetic imagery. Over the centuries, certain of these books of the Bible have acquired distinct modes of cantillation.
Consider, for example, the cantillation of the Book of Lamentations.
Lamentations is read in the synagogue on Tisha B'Av, the ninth day of the month of Av, the fast day, which commemorates the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem.
It is a day of mourning, and the special cantillation of Lamentations is an expression of mourning.
These are the words of the fifth chapter of Lamentations.
Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach.
Our inheritance is turned to strangers, our houses to aliens.
We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows.
We have drunken our water for money. Our wood is sold unto us.
Our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest.
Listen now to these words, cantillated in the original Hebrew, as they are heard in the great synagogue in Jerusalem. It is hardly necessary to know the Hebrew, for the special cantillation of Lamentations is a lamentation in itself, an expression of despair, which is universally understandable.
Zechor Adonai Me'ah Hayalanu Habit Aurei Et Chirpateinu Nachalateinu Nefchare Zarin.
Consider now the cantillation of the Book of Esther.
The story of Esther is a tale, a chronicle, a reporting of history.
The cantillation of Esther is repertorial, dramatic, a story almost acted out, so that all who hear it may understand. Here is a reading of Megillus Esther, the scroll of Esther, as it is cantillated in Persia. Quite different from the cantillation of Lamentations,
but expressive of the mood of the books.
In the words of Nehemiah,
exhibiting the sense so that the people understood.
Cantillation is the interpreter of the Bible.
Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Thine ointments have a goodly fragrance. Thy name is an ointment poured forth.
Of all the books of the Bible, none is more lyric or poetical than the Song of Songs, the idyll of King Solomon. And the mode of cantillation of the Song of Songs is a Song of Songs in itself.
Le reyach semaneha tovim, Semen turak semeha aleken alamota hivuha.
And so, cantillation, which began as a way of making the words of the Bible clear, of accenting what should be accented, developed also into a form of art, a form in which the music itself expresses the mood, the words of the given book of the Bible.
On a few occasions in the Bible, the mode of cantillation will change within a single reading.
Take, for example, a moment in Deuteronomy, the last of the five books of Moses.
Chapter 1, verses 11 to 13.
Verse 12 is a sentence of despair. The cantillation changes from the mode of the book of Moses to the mode of lamentations.
Adonai Elohei Avoseichem Yosef Aleichem Kofem El Tzomim Vivorech Eschem Kasher Diber Lochem.
The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as ye are, and bless you as he hath promised you.
That was verse 11. But verse 12 reads,
how can I myself alone bear your cumbrance, and your burden, and your strife?
Now, let's hear them together.
Adonai Elohei Avoseichem Yosef Aleichem Kochem El Tzomim Vivorech Eschem Kasher Diber Lochem Eichu Esu Levadi Tochachem Umasachem Verivechem Ovu Lochem Anoshim Chachomim Unevonim Viduim Leshivteichem
The words are the music, and the music is the words. Cantillation is the interpreter of the Bible.
Other modes of cantillation. The cantillation of the prophetic books, portions of which are read in the synagogue on the Sabbath. The cantillation of study. The cantillation of prayer itself. There are variations according to traditions, geography, local custom, and mood. And out of this wealth of musical material, musical traditions have grown, which have deeply affected the secular music of our culture.
Out of the cantillation of the Bible came the plain song of the church, and out of the plain song of the church, musical influences that helped to build the great body of Western classical music.
But the deeper meaning of the cantillation is its expression of a people's faith and its intention that the sacred scriptures should be shared by all.
Joshua bin Nun. Molei ruach chochmo, kisomah.
In the synagogues of the world, the Torah, the teaching of Moses, is chanted in the ancient cantillation, the musical system devised to make the Bible clear to the people so they would understand. Today, thousands of years later, in our sophisticated times, we read with great ease, with greater understanding, with few obstacles between us and the Word of God. But the cantillation remains a joy to the ears and to the heart, and a reminder in our time, as in its beginnings, that by these words we may go our way and prepare for ourselves a great joy, because we have understood the words which were given to us and to all mankind as a heritage and blessing, a light that man may follow towards a time to come when all shall dwell in brotherhood, in justice, and in peace.
Asher osom Moshe
לעיני כל ישראל.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Marvin G. Wiener, Director of the National Academy for Adult Jewish Studies of the United Synagogue of America. Rabbi Wiener.
The program you have just heard was presented in honor of the 80th birthday of Professor Solomon Rozovsky. Professor Rozovsky has achieved world renown as a distinguished authority on the cantillation of the Bible. His entire life's work has been dedicated to this unique religious phenomenon. The reading of the Torah represents an ancient and hallowed tradition in Jewish life, whereby religious instruction is included as an integral part of the service of prayer and song. This reading aloud of a portion of sacred scriptures traces back over 24 centuries, and its development as an institution is recorded in the Bible itself. The Bible represents the abiding source of religious inspiration for the religions of the Western world. Modern scholarship has reaffirmed for us the accuracy and historicity of Scripture as a fixed and permanent record of God's revelation to man and man's progress toward God. And yet, paradoxically enough, this fixed and unchanging sacred text is accompanied by a continuing spiritual creation, the cantillation. Basically, the cantillation serves to clarify and make precise the meaning of the text. And yet we have heard how cantillation provides a variety of moods, distinguishing the various Sabbaths and festivals by special musical motifs. Furthermore, there are additional variations in each of the many sub-traditions of Judaism. Hence the Zarka and the Segol, which you heard, serving the same function throughout the synagogues of the world, nonetheless differ in musical content from New York to Paris and Baghdad. How remarkable it is that the very means of standardizing and of unifying serves also to particularize and differentiate. Cantillation, symbolizing the universal and the particular, represents as well the continuum of an ancient tradition enriched by the full range of human emotions in every generation as it acts upon the lives of those who seek, in the words of the psalmist, to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Thank you, Rabbi Wiener. Our eternal light drama today, Cantillation, Interpreter of the Bible, was written by Mark Siegel and was based on the book Cantillation of the Bible by Professor Solomon Rozovsky. The liturgical introduction was sung by Cantor Robert Siegel, and the biblical passages cantillated were performed by Raphael Edgar. Musical recordings heard on today's program are from the Dr. Johanna Spector collection, recorded for the Hebrew University, Jerusalem, Israel. Featured in the cast, Guy Repp, Charles Webster, and Petoniak. The narrators were David Ross and Roger DeCoven. This is the NBC Radio Network.